About 11 years ago, a couple of times I visited a detention center for young immigrants in Texas. Most of these kids were very shy, but not Davio. Davio was 10 years old and already a self-possessed young man who was perfectly capable of carrying on a conversation with adults. He explained to me that he ran away from his family in Guatemala, braved deserts and rainforests, scaled mountains, and somehow got himself over the border into the United States. Eventually, he got picked up by Border Patrol agents and was deposited in this detention center where we met. I had so many questions and so little time. Do your parents know where you went off to? I asked. They didn't. Don't you miss them? I continued. His strong features softened just slightly. His lips quivered, and there might have been a tear forming in the corner of his eye as he admitted that he did. Then why did you do it? He flashed a quick, childlike smile and answered, "Because I want to be an astronaut, and I can't do that in Guatemala." The enthusiasm was beaming from his face. Davio hoped to be adopted so that he could pursue his dream. I thought to myself, this is the most extraordinary young man I have ever met. How did a 10-year-old come to have such bravery and tenacity? To the immigration officials and the workers at the detention center, he was just a child, and an illegal one at that. They had no idea of the greatness in their midst. The gem that was sparkling in the dark recesses of a very tragic situation. The same may be said of the people of Nazareth, who rather tepidly welcomed Jesus home. Everywhere else Jesus went, he was a celebrity, the miracle worker, the prophet. To the people of Nazareth, however, he was just one of those babies whose nose they wiped snot out of, and whose dirty diapers they cleaned. A carpenter, the son of a carpenter. My impression is that Nazareth's rejection of Jesus has a story behind it. A story that the Gospels do not tell. The story of the 30 years before Jesus became a public figure. Saint Ignatius of Loyola includes one often overlooked meditation in the spiritual exercises on the early life of Jesus. Ignatius instructs the person praying to imaginatively reconstruct Jesus' childhood based on what we know of Jesus, the adult. This meditation takes us to the heart of Ignatian spirituality and might help us to understand Nazareth's rejection of Jesus. So why don't we give it a try? We've all heard the expression, it takes a village to raise a child. Knowing what we do about the extraordinary person Jesus was, Nazareth must have been a remarkable place. The story starts probably with his mother. From his earliest years, I bet it was his mother, Mary, his aunts, and his grandmother who drilled into him this sound piece of wisdom. Jesus, they would say, whatever you do, just treat other people the way you want to be treated. These wise women didn't just say this to Jesus. They showed him in the way they took care of sick friends and relatives and secretly reached out to the ostracized in the community. As a teenager, Jesus would hang out with friends and listened with rapt attention to their stories from home. The farmer's children talked about how those tiny little mustard seeds they planted a couple of months ago have grown into enormous bushes, a miracle right before their eyes. Of course, the shepherd boys and girls had the most entertaining and exciting stories. When they were little, they would have to leave their parents' flocks behind and spend the whole day tracking down those stupid sheep who kept wandering off. Just like Davio chasing his dream, these young shepherds saw themselves on an adventure, chasing the lost sheep all over hill and dale. And when they got older, these show-off shepherds would impress their friends with stories of fighting off wolves, sometimes with their bare hands. That didn't always turn out so well. Jesus's good friend Jonathan lost his life one day defending his flock. This event left the deepest impression on Jesus. Somehow, even the young Jesus identified with Jonathan's sacrifice. For his part, Jesus would recount how his dad and he spent the entire day looking for a new site to build a house for Obadiah. Since Joseph always said, "You can't build on sand, or the entire house will be washed away in the rainy season." On Saturday, everyone in the village would gather around the rabbi, who was one of those down-to-earth preachers everyone loves. The rabbi knew the people of Nazareth were just trying to get by, so he summarized God's law as simply as possible. He would repeat, "Love God above all else, and love your neighbor as yourself." That's it. Why weren't the people of Nazareth impressed with Jesus and his stories? He was telling them their own stories. Jesus wasn't a parent or a shepherd or a farmer. He was a carpenter. These are stories he borrowed. What the people of Nazareth failed to realize is that in sharing their experiences with the young Jesus, they were perhaps giving him words and images to express what God's action in the world looks like. They were inspiring Jesus with a dream about what the world would look like when God was in charge, when God's kingdom had finally come. Ignatian spirituality leads the practitioner to find God in all things. This is no easy task because God presents God's self to us under the guise of the familiar, in the things that we take for granted. God's glory shows itself in the courage and strength of a child on a perilous journey to fulfill the dream of becoming an astronaut. God manifests God's power in a patient battling cancer. God's beauty is revealed in the birth of a child. God's care is visible in the hard work of our parents and in the long nights we have spent comforting a friend in difficulty. God's longing for us unfolds in a young couple's desire for each other and in our yearning to hold on to a loved one who is passing from this world. This perhaps was a lesson that the people of Nazareth hadn't learned. Indeed, the kingdom of God had arrived, but not with trumpets and armies arrayed in glistening armor, but right in the midst of their dull, ordinary lives.